All right, get ready to dive deep today. We're tackling something called perturbation theory.
Oh, yeah, perturbation theory.
Now, before you think, uh-oh, advanced physics, not my thing, stick with us.
Right.
It's way more relatable than you might think.
Absolutely. It really is. It's all about simplifying the complex.
Okay, I like that. Simplifying the complex.
You know, like try and understand something as crazy and unpredictable as the stock market.
Oh, yeah.
That's mind-boggling. Trying to wrap your head around the whole thing at
The
once.
whole chaotic mess.
Exactly. So what if instead we just focus on tiny changes, little nudges?
Okay.
Just see how those little changes ripple out.
Interesting. So, like a financial butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Small change, big consequence.
You got it. And the funny thing is, this whole perturbation theory thing, well, it actually comes from physics.
Oh, really?
Like way back, it was used to map out those planetary orbits.
Okay.
You know, figuring out how the gravity from other planets affects a planet's path.
Like a little tug here and there.
Exactly, just a little tug. They even use this to discover the planet Neptune.
Wow.
But the coolest thing about this is that you can use it for all sorts of
Oh,
things.
that's what I was going to say. Like, how does this apply to anything other than
We're
planets?
talking weather forecasting, we're talking
Okay.
finance. It's pretty versatile.
So this planetary orbit theory, you're telling me is used to, what, figure out bond prices or something
You got it.
and like the risk in my portfolio.
Okay. Instead of trying to solve like this huge, really complex financial model all at once, you start with a simple version, something you can actually understand,
Right.
and then you add in those little changes, the perturbations,
Huh?
and you see how they affect the solution.
Okay, got it.
It's kind of like if you have your favorite cake recipe.
Okay, yeah.
You know, what happens if you add a little more sugar,
Yeah, a little spice.
a dash of spice,
Yeah.
exactly. You're seeing how it changes the final flavor.
So is it instead of just like a kind of a static picture of, say, a bond price, just thinking of examples, we're getting a more dynamic view.
Yeah.
And so that would be really helpful for things like risk management, I imagine.
Absolutely. You know, think about managing a portfolio in today's market. Things are always changing.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Volatility up the wazoo?
Exactly. Asset correlations all over the place. All this, you know,
Yeah.
perturbation theory lets us see how our portfolio might do under all those changing conditions.
Okay.
It's like a really, really detailed stress test. Helps us see those potential bumps in the road ahead.
So we're not just trying to predict, like in a vacuum. We're acknowledging that things change, and we're trying to see how those changes affect things.
You got it. And that leads us to the different types of perturbations that are out there.
Okay.
In finance, you usually talk about regular perturbations and singular
Oh,
perturbations.
regular versus singular. So these have like code names, like a spy thriller, financial analyst of the secret agents. This is a regular perturbation. Proceed with caution.
It would make for a great movie. But really, regular perturbations are more like the predictable stuff. You know, manageable adjustments, things we see all the time.
Okay.
Like when interest rates go up a little bit,
Yeah.
we can generally guess how that'll impact the models. It's like a little breeze that's pushing a sailboat just a little bit off
Oh, I
course.
like that. Okay,
Okay.
a little nudge.
So what's the singular one? It's like code red, everything's about to crash.
Well, that's where things get a little bit more exciting. There are those tiny changes that set off a big chain reaction.
Okay.
You know, take that same sailboat, but suddenly, whoosh, a huge gust of wind hits it.
Oh, yeah.
The impact is way bigger, harder to predict.
So it's like that tiny crack in a dam. If
Yeah.
you don't catch it, the whole thing breaks.
Exactly. And this is where finance gets really, really interesting and sometimes a little scary.
Okay.
Like if the market suddenly gets way less liquid,
Right.
boom, that can have a huge impact. Things like derivative pricing go haywire.
Oh, especially in a market that's already kind of tense.
So these singular perturbations, they're like those black swan events. Like you never see it coming, and all of a sudden, boom, everything's different.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where perturbation theory really shines, you know?
All right.
It lets us model and analyze even those unpredictable situations, helps us build financial models that can handle those shocks.
I'm just imagining all the other ways we can use this,
Yeah.
like not even just for finance.
You're right. We could talk about that for hours. But you know what? Let's focus on how perturbation theory is already being used in finance today.
Okay.
Specifically, I think we need to talk about its relationship with another powerful tool, machine learning.
Oh, yeah, machine learning.
Yeah, that's a hot topic.
It's everywhere. I think I even heard my grandma talking about algorithms the other day.
It is everywhere these days, and it's definitely made its way into the world of finance.
Okay, so how's that working out?
Pretty well, I have to say.
Algorithms doing what? predicting stock prices?
You got it.
Yeah.
Optimizing portfolios.
Wow, fancy.
Even assessing credit risk, they're doing it all.
But aren't those algorithms like these mysterious black boxes?
Yeah.
You just feed them some data and out pops an answer.
That's part of it.
Like magic. You never really know what's going on inside.
Well, that's where perturbation theory steps in.
Oh, okay.
It helps us pry open that black box, see what's happening in there.
Oh, very interesting. I'm all ears. How does it do that?
Let's take neural networks, for example.
Yeah, neural networks. Those are everywhere.
They're very popular. They're used all the time in finance. But here's the thing.
Okay.
Even the tiniest change to the data you feed them, or even the network's own settings, can really mess with their predictions.
So is this like those singular perturbations?
Yeah. It's like those little changes we talked about. They can set off a whole domino effect.
Okay.
And that's where perturbation theory is so valuable. It helps us understand just how sensitive those neural networks are to those tweaks.
I see. I see. So we're basically stress testing those algorithms.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how well do they hold up under pressure?
Yeah, you could say that. It's called sensitivity analysis, and it's like giving those algorithms a good checkup.
Oh, I like that. So if we have, say, a neural network predicting stock prices.
Right.
And then, bam, interest rates change.
That's our perturbation.
That's the perturbation. And then we can see how that change in interest rates affects the stock price prediction.
Exactly. It lets us see how those algorithms might behave in different situations, even the unexpected ones.
So we're not just assuming everything will stay the same. We're planning for those curveballs.
You got it. And get this, we can even use things like regularization to make those neural networks less sensitive to those little changes.
Regularization.
Okay. Yeah. It's like putting guardrails on those algorithms.
So they don't go off the rails. I like that.
Right. We don't want them getting too obsessed with the specific data we train them on.
Right.
We want them to generalize, you know, handle new data they haven't seen before.
So they need to adapt.
Exactly. Yeah. Adapt. Like when you teach someone to ride a bike, you wouldn't want them using training wheels forever. Right?
Definitely not.
The goal is for them to ride on their own and handle those bumps in the road.
So we're teaching these algorithms to be more street smart.
Exactly.
Less textbook, more real world.
And techniques like, you know, dropout and L2 regularization, they're like introducing controlled perturbations during the training.
Okay.
We're basically throwing them a few curveballs so they learn how to adapt and get more flexible.
So it's not just building models, it's building resilient models.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So this whole perturbation concept, I'm guessing it applies to way more than just those neural networks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like other financial models as well.
All sorts. Remember portfolio optimization?
Yeah, yeah.
How we talked about using perturbation theory to see how your portfolio might do under different market conditions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can use a neural network to actually optimize that portfolio for you. And then we can test its resilience. Throw in some little perturbations to the market data it's using. Helps make sure that your portfolio can handle those little ups and downs.
So we want our portfolios to be like those all-weather sailboats.
Right.
They could take a little rough sea.
Exactly. Another great example is credit risk modeling.
Okay.
Banks use models to figure out, you know, is this person going to default on their loan or not?
Yeah, that's important.
And perturbation theory lets us see how sensitive those models are to changes in the economy.
I see.
You know, like what happens if unemployment goes up or if there's a sudden spike in inflation?
So if there's a recession, we can kind of predict how that will affect, you know, how many people are going to default on their loans.
Exactly. It helps those banks manage risk a lot better.
Okay, that makes sense. So we got portfolio optimization. We got credit risk. Anything else?
Oh, we got to talk about algorithmic trading.
Oh, yeah. That's a super fast.
That's the one where algorithms are buying and selling stocks at lightning speed.
Super high speed.
Those systems, they have to make decisions in a split second. And they're using tons of real-time data.
Yeah. It's all about speed there.
But that data, it's noisy. It's incomplete. It's full of those little perturbations.
So how does perturbation theory help there in that chaos?
Well, it helps us figure out how sensitive those trading algorithms are to little changes in the data.
I see.
We don't want them freaking out at every little blip and making rash decisions, right?
So it's like a filter to keep them from making those bad trades.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, so that's pretty crucial there.
Perturbation theory helps them stay more stable, more level-headed, and that makes their trading decisions better.
It's fascinating how this whole perturbation idea, it's like a tool that makes models more reliable.
You're right. It's a powerful tool.
No matter what you're applying it to.
But, you know, it's not just about building better models.
Right.
We got to be honest about the limitations, too.
Okay, so let's get real. What are some of those challenges or weaknesses?
Well, for one, it can be a real resource hog.
Okay.
Trying to analyze those complex financial models, you know, with all those perturbations,
yeah,
it takes serious computing power.
So it's like a really powerful engine,
right,
but it's guzzling gas like crazy.
Exactly. And sometimes the math we use, the perturbation series, they can't solve the problem.
So it's like a puzzle where the pieces just won't fit.
Yeah, like that.
So in those cases, it's not going to give you a full answer, right?
Right. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing.
It's not going to solve every problem.
Exactly.
It's good to know when to use it and when to use something else.
Absolutely. But even with those limitations, perturbation theory is still an incredibly powerful tool for anyone dealing with complex systems.
Yeah, I'm seeing that, especially in finance. Okay, so we've talked about the power of perturbation theory. We've seen how it's used. We've even talked about the challenges.
Right.
So what's next for perturbation theory? Like, where is this all headed?
That's where things get really exciting because we're just getting started with this.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me about the future of perturbation theory.
Buckle up. Researchers are exploring some really amazing possibilities. Like, imagine combining perturbation theory with other really cool techniques.
Okay, like what?
Like model ensembling or transfer learning.
Those are...
Putting together this dream team of analytical tools.
Oh, I like that. So we've got our perturbation theory superhero.
Right.
And they've got their, like, brainy sidekicks.
Exactly.
Working together to like solve financial mysteries or something.
And you know what? We could build even better models, models that are more adaptable.
Okay.
Imagine being able to like predict market shifts way better.
Wow.
Or like building portfolios that can just roll with the punches no matter what the economy throws at them.
So we're talking like next level financial wizardry.
Pretty much.
I'm in. So what else? What else is cooking?
Another big one is explainability.
Okay, explainability.
Remember those neural networks, those black boxes? Well, researchers are trying to make them, like, see-through.
Oh, so instead of just getting an answer,
right,
we can actually understand how it got there.
Exactly. Understand the why behind the prediction. And that's so important in finance.
Yeah, because financial decisions, those have big consequences.
They do. Just imagine if you could explain why a loan got approved or rejected.
Right.
Not just based on a credit score,
mm-hmm,
but like, you know what different factors actually influence that decision?
That would be huge.
Huge.
Especially for like, you know, making sure everything's above board and people trust those systems.
Absolutely. And then you have things like high frequency trading.
Oh yeah, that's where things get really intense.
That's all about speed.
Like milliseconds matter.
Researchers are developing methods for real-time perturbation analysis.
Wow.
So those algorithms, they could adapt instantly to the market changing.
It's like giving those algorithms like superhuman reflexes or something.
It is. Like they're dodging market turbulence like ninjas. And then there are all these new areas in finance where perturbation theory can be applied.
Okay, like what?
Things like decentralized finance, cryptocurrencies, ESG investing.
Yeah.
Where things are always in flux, you know, and those old models, they just don't cut it.
It can't keep up.
Exactly.
It seems like perturbation theory is going from like this specialized tool to this essential thing you need to navigate all this complexity.
It really is.
Especially with, you know, the world changing so fast these days.
It's all about understanding that change and being able to adapt.
Okay, so I get it, this cool stuff. But for our listeners out there who aren't, you know, financial experts, why should they care about this theory?
Because it affects all of us, even if you don't realize it.
Okay.
From like the big financial systems to the decisions made about your loans, your investments,
okay,
even what products and services you see. These models are shaping our world.
So it's like we need to understand these systems if we want to have a say in how they work.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, they're just kind of controlling us without us even knowing.
And hey, maybe learning about perturbation theory can help you make better financial decisions yourself.
Okay.
Think about your own investments. Right. Like, what if interest rates suddenly shoot up?
Oh, yeah.
Or what if everyone suddenly loses confidence in the market? How would those things impact what you've invested?
So it's not just for Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
It can actually help everyday people manage their money better.
It can, and that's what's so cool about perturbation theory. It helps us look at complex things, figure out those little details, and then make better decisions no matter who you are or what you do.
So it's like a superpower for understanding change.
It is, sort of. And the best part, we're just scratching the surface here.
Oh, there's more. Okay, so where do we go from here? What's on the horizon for perturbation theory?
Well, that's where things get really exciting. There's so much potential, so many possibilities.
Well, spill the beans. What kind of amazing new advancements are researchers working on?
Well, one thing they're looking at is combining perturbation theory with other cool techniques, like you said.
Yeah, the dream team.
Right, like model ensembling or transfer learning.
Okay.
So it's like we're creating these, you know, even more powerful models that are so adaptable.
Well,
like imagine predicting those market shifts
right
with even more accuracy.
Wow.
Or building portfolios that can handle anything.
That's what I want, a bulletproof portfolio.
Right. No matter what the economy does, it can just adapt.
So like financial, I don't know, like a financial superhero or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that's awesome. What else is coming down the pipeline?
Another really interesting area is what we call explainability.
Explainability.
You know, we talked about those neural networks, the black boxes.
Yeah.
Researchers, they're working on making those black boxes see-through.
Oh, so instead of just getting like a yes or no answer, like this stock's going to go up or down.
Right.
We could actually see why.
Exactly.
Okay, so that would be really helpful, I think.
It would be, especially in finance where these decisions, they really matter.
Like you were saying, you know, people's livelihoods.
Right. Like imagine being able to explain, okay, why did this loan get approved?
Right.
Why did this one get rejected?
Yeah.
And it's not just about a credit score. You can see, okay, this factor and this factor and this factor, this is why.
So it's a more holistic picture.
It is.
That would be great for, you know, making sure everything's fair.
Absolutely.
Building trust in those systems.
And then there's high frequency trading.
Oh, yeah. That's the one where speed is everything.
Exactly. Researchers are developing methods for real-time perturbation analysis.
Whoa, real-time.
So those algorithms can adapt to the market changing as it happens.
So they're like financial ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
They see the market shift and they react instantly.
Yeah, like that. And there are new frontiers for perturbation theory.
Oh, okay. Like what?
Things like decentralized finance.
Be fine.
Cryptocurrencies. ESG investing.
ESG, yeah, that's a hot topic.
These are all areas where things are always changing and those old models just don't work.
They can't keep up.
Right.
So perturbation theory is going from this niche tool to something that everyone needs.
Absolutely. It's all about navigating that complexity.
Especially with the world changing so fast.
Right.
But, you know, for our listeners out there who aren't finance pros, why should they care about this?
Because it affects everyone, even if you don't see it.
Okay.
From the financial system as a whole to the decisions made about your loans, your investments, what products and services you even see.
So it's all around us.
It is. These models, they're shaping our world. So we need to understand them if we want to have a say in how they work.
It's like becoming a more informed citizen in this increasingly complex world.
Yeah, exactly. And who knows, maybe learning about perturbation theory could even help you with your own personal finances.
Okay, I like that. Bring it back to the personal level.
Right, like think about your investments.
Yeah.
What happens if interest rates suddenly go up?
That would not be good for my mortgage.
Exactly. Or what if the market crashes? How would that affect what you've invested?
So perturbation theory, it's not just for Wall Street. It's for everyone.
It is. It's like a tool that helps us make sense of this crazy complex world.
And make better decisions.
Exactly.
So there you have it, folks. Perturbation theory. It's not just for rocket scientists anymore.
It's for anyone who wants to understand change.
Navigate uncertainty, build a more resilient future.
One perturbation at a time.
I love it. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into perturbation theory. We'll see you next time.